Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwohl, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous person will fall seven times, and he stands back up, but the wicked stumble in times of distress." First, we can see that the proverb is structured with antithetic parallelism, where the first line says something about the righteous person, and then the second line says the opposite about the wicked. The two lines of the proverb are being contrasted against each other to show a difference between them. The difference begins with the identity of a righteous person and the wicked, but the point of the contrast is to mark out the difference between how they respond to and behave in a similar circumstance. But before we get to that contrast, I think it's important to understand who the proverb is identifying as a righteous person and the wicked. In the book of Proverbs, the righteous, usually plural righteous ones or righteous people, or a singular, a righteous person, contains both a religious dimension and an ethical dimension. Regarding the religious dimension, it refers to those who are in covenant with Yahweh and live in obedience to Yahweh's precepts and commandments. This entails trusting in and submitting to Yahweh as the true ruler and sovereign of the world, and worshiping Yahweh alone as God. From this commitment to Yahweh then flows the ethical dimension of being righteous, which consists of seeking to help the poor, the oppressed, and the powerless in society, and being willing to disadvantage oneself for the benefit of others in the community, and living with the understanding and prudence about how the world operates so that one can promote life the way Yahweh desires for humankind to best flourish and achieve His purposes for them. In contrast to the righteous, the wicked are pretty much just the opposite. They refuse to live in covenant with Yahweh, and they do not regard or obey His commandments. They commit evil acts that undermine and destroy the well-being of all human community, society, and personal relationships. They do not regard the lives of others as sacred or valuable, and will commit all manner of grievous wrongdoing in order to benefit themselves, especially by taking advantage of others and exploiting those who are weaker than they are. Let's now look at the point of the contrast between these two categories of individuals to understand what the proverb is trying to tell us. Remember, the contrast is intended to show the difference between how they respond to and behave in a similar circumstance. The similar circumstance is that the righteous person will fall and the wicked will stumble. Both fall and stumble represent the same idea, just with two different terms, where the term stumble is indicative of stumbling to the point of falling down, not merely stumbling momentarily and then continuing to walk just fine. The metaphorical imagery of falling or stumbling draws upon the fact that when a person falls, they suffer harm, they incur some sort of injury or pain, and they also experience loss of their footing or balance. Furthermore, the figurative meaning of fall and stumble can be generalized to refer to any adversity or misfortune a person encounters, but implicitly, it is likely to the degree that the issue is something quite severe and detrimental rather than merely trivial. However, the severity of the misfortune is not expressed and really is not the focus of the proverb. In addition, while the proverb doesn't say that the righteous person will fall in times of distress, as it does for the wicked in the second line, that is the presumed condition also in view for the righteous person, according to the parallelism of the proverb. Nonetheless, while falling or stumbling can represent any general kind of adversity or distress, it surely includes the destructive forces of evil that are at work in the world causing suffering and ruin. What the proverb highlights as the main difference between the righteous person and the wicked is how the righteous person responds to falling. That is, he stands back up. While the second line doesn't explicitly state that the wicked stumble and fall and then remain perpetually on the ground in that condition, it is suggested that this is the implied meaning based on the antithetic parallelism of the proverb. The proverb also mentions that the righteous person will fall seven times. The symbolic number 7 represents sacredness, completeness, or the totality of a cycle. Here, it implies the unspecified repetition of the fall, with a view toward the full extent and frequency with which it might happen. Thus, the proverbial 7 times is meant to elicit in the mind more than just falling a couple of times, but rather it captures the indeterminate full number of however many times it might happen in life. This serves to highlight the resilience and determination of the righteous person, who, in the face of an unpredictable number of times that they might fall, they will rise again to face a new day. And thus, unlike the wicked who will stumble, that is, stumble and fall as well, and remain in that state, the righteous person will fall but then stand right back up and will prevail, regardless of how many times they must endure it. Again, the emphasis of the contrast is on the fact that as the righteous person encounters the fullness of life's trials and challenges, he will not be defeated by them. He will rise again after each calamity because, in the end, evil will not triumph over the righteous. However, the wicked do not receive strength from Yahweh in times of trouble, nor are they promised his help and deliverance. Without wisdom and the knowledge of Yahweh, they will stumble and fall and be destroyed, not knowing how to recover and stand up again. This proverb reminds me of a famous song from the late 1990s by a band named Chumbawamba that had a chorus that talked about getting knocked down, but then getting back up again. I want to play the chorus briefly, since I can't sing it or do justice to it. So here it is. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. This chorus line is repeated over and over and over again throughout the song. And while the song has nothing to do with the proverb directly, it definitely chants the heartbeat and wisdom of this proverb. In order to more fully illustrate this proverb, I want to tell the story of Jose Hernandez. Hernandez was born in French Camp, California in 1962, and is the youngest of 4 children in his family. He was one of 4 children in a migrant farming family from Mexico. Hernandez, who didn't learn English until he was 12 years old, spent much of his childhood on what he calls the California circuit, traveling with his family from Mexico to Southern California each March, then working northward to Stockton area by November, picking strawberries and cucumbers and other vegetables at farms along the route. They would then return to Mexico for Christmas and start the cycle all over again in the spring. It was a hard life and difficult on the family, especially when it came to the schooling of Hernandez and his siblings. So finally, Hernandez's family decided to settle in Stockton, California, where he and his siblings were able to go to school and live without moving every few months. Hernandez wanted to fly in space ever since he heard that the first Hispanic American had been chosen to travel into space. Here's what he says, quote, "I was hoeing a row of sugar beets in a field near Stockton, California, and I heard on my transistor radio that Franklin Chang Diaz had been selected for the astronaut corps," says Hernandez. And he was a senior in high school at that time. He continues on to say, quote, "I was already interested in science and engineering," he remembers, "but that was the moment I said, I want to fly in space," end quote. Hernandez says his dream of becoming an astronaut really took off after he watched the Apollo 17 moon landing in 1972. Holding up the rabbit ear antenna to get reception on his family's black and white television, when he shared his dream, Hernandez says his father offered him crucial advice for his life. Hernandez's father told him that there are 5 things he must remember. First, find your goal. Second, know how far you are from it. Third, draw a roadmap for how to get there. Fourth, if you don't know how, learn. And fifth, when you think you have made it, you probably have to work harder. After graduating high school, Hernandez enrolled in the University of the Pacific at Stockton, where he earned a degree in electrical engineering and was awarded a full scholarship to the graduate program at the University of California in Santa Barbara, where he continued his engineering studies, earning his Master's of Electrical Engineering. In 1987, he accepted a full-time job with Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, where he worked as a co-op in college. Then in 1992, Hernandez decided to apply to NASA's space program to become an astronaut. The day came when the admission letter appeared in his mailbox. He was so excited. He opened it up, only to read the words, "Thank you for applying, but we regret to inform you that you have not been selected for NASA's astronaut program." Hernandez's heart sunk, but he was not ready to give up. The following year, Hernandez sent in another application, but received the same reply soon after. This went on for years. Every year, Hernandez would submit his application only to be turned down. He knew that he had to become a more competitive applicant. So he started working on skills and personal performance to distinguish himself from the other candidates. On the family's limited budget, he enrolled in flight school. He also began taking scuba diving lessons, which is a critical skill for learning how to maneuver effectively in a weightless environment. He traveled to Siberia and started to learn Russian. In order to increase his chances of being accepted, in 2001, Hernandez joined the Johnson Space Center and soon became chief of the Materials and Processes branch. Still, each year he would submit his application only to receive the subsequent letter in the mail telling him that he was not chosen to be part of NASA's astronaut program. Then, in 2004, for his 12th application, Hernandez decided to personally deliver it. So Hernandez walked into astronaut and commander Frederick Sterko's office and hand-delivered his application to him. In the 2023 movie about Jose Hernandez, entitled A Million Miles Away, keeping in mind this is the movie reenactment of the historical event, but Hernandez testified to the validity of the encounter, there is a scene when Hernandez is handing in his application to Commander Sterko. Sterko gives Hernandez a disappointed look and suggested that Hernandez should have just mailed it in and saved himself the trouble and money of traveling.
This is going to be your 11th attempt, and I appreciate your persistence, and I thank you for coming all the way down here, but I really wish you'd have saved yourself the airfare.
Sir, if I may, this is my strongest application yet, and this would be my 12th attempt, not my 11th.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm sorry, sir?
What's changed? What's different this time?
Over the course of the last 10 years, every academic, professional, and personal decision I've made with the space program in mind.
Sure.
I have my master's in electrical engineering. I'm a pilot now with over 800 hours under my belt. I have my scuba diving certificate. I just ran the San Francisco Marathon. And I speak Russian, sir. In fact, I volunteered to travel to Siberia as part of the transparency program for the U.S. Department of Energy. I'm the father of 5 most perfect children, and then the husband of the most incredible wife who threatened to leave me if I didn't come here today. I've applied 12 times, and yes, sir, I've been on the verge of giving up after each and every rejection, but you know what, sir? Here I am. So you could turn me down again, but rest assured, I'll be standing here again in a year.
That year, in 2004, Hernandez was selected as part of the 19th class of NASA astronauts. And then in 2006, Hernandez completed NASA's astronaut candidate training program, and then in 2009, he was selected to participate as a specialist on the STS-128 mission on board the Space Shuttle Discovery, where he traveled to the International Space Station for 13 days. Probably none of us are vying for a position in an elite program like Hernandez was, but his example of perseverance, regardless of whatever pursuit we are currently involved in, is inspiring. Maybe it's a job that we're applying for. Maybe it's applying to get into a university. Maybe it's trying to get that person you've had a crush on to go on a date with you. Whatever it is, we can remember that most things don't often go the way we want them to the first time around. But we should not let that defeat us. And this principle is most especially true with regard to following Christ in our lives and being obedient to Yahweh. Every one of us will be met with resistance and temptation by the enemy, and every one of us gets knocked down at some point, and perhaps more than we would like to admit. But what we do when we get knocked down is what reveals who we are. Do we throw in the towel and give up the fight? Or do we stand back up and face the trouble, the hardship, or the sin in our life that knocked us down, and persevering through until we overcome and see the victory? Remember, the righteous person will fall 7 times, but he stands right back up and keeps going. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.